Good evening to everybody. You're all sad. Try that again. Good evening. I'm reading lips and some of them are not moving. Okay. First of all, happy All Souls Day to you. There you go. There's some enthusiasm. That's why he makes the big bucks. Today is a special day to me for a couple of reasons, aside from the fact that it's All Souls Day. Number one, I don't know how many of you are aware, today is Father Elio's birthday. Woo-hoo! So, he is now crossed 100 years old. It's amazing. Doesn't he look great? I never would have guessed he was over 98, but now. So, Father Elio, it's his birthday. I don't remember how old he is now. He's probably about 56, 57, something like that. So, there you go. Today is also a special day to me because 4 years ago, on this day, my dad died. And believe it or not, and this sounds horrible in the beginning, but if you bear with me, believe it or not, it was a great thing. Okay? Now I'm going to explain to you why it was a great thing and how it all fits into All Souls. So, my dad, when I joined the Legionaries of Christ back in 1991, a long time ago, I entered the religious order, Legionaries of Christ. So Father Donald and Father Elio and I are all Legionaries of Christ. Father Miguel Angel, who helped out last night and this morning, is a Legionary of Christ. So all the guys that have been running St. Peter's that we've known ever since the days of Bishop Jay have all been Legionaries of Christ. So when I joined, my dad basically stopped talking to me. Why would he stop talking to me? Because my dad, my parents had been separated for a number of years, and I was close to both of them. They actually lived pretty close together, and I used to go hang out with my dad and work with him a couple times a week, so we were close. But my dad, probably when he was young, even though he was baptized Catholic and everything, I'm pretty sure that as soon as he thought he could get away with it, he left the church for all practical purposes. So he was Catholic enough, you know, to marry my mom and everything, but I don't think he really had any intention of living the faith. So he pretty much kind of gave up on believing in God. So lo and behold, his youngest son up and decides, hey, Father, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be a priest. It's like, this was not in my plans. Now, my dad, in a lot of ways, was a very honorable guy, a very hardworking guy, had a lot of virtues and qualities. He's also stubborn as all get out. So again, if you are one of these guys that says, I'm done with the church, and then you're stubborn, and then your kid says, I want to be a priest, it's like, that ain't going to work. So I actually went 25 years without talking to my dad. Actually, when I first talked to my dad again, I mean, I sent him Christmas cards and Easter cards and stuff, and like, no response, no response, no response. It was actually when I was assigned to St. Peter's, I was signed 10 years ago, but it was 9 years ago. I remember it was summertime, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. The dude at that time was in his 80s. My parents had me late in life, so the dude was in his 80s, and I'm like, it's ridiculous. So I tried to call him, no answer. Voicemail, no response. Email, no response. I found out later it wasn't not responding to me because he hated me. It's just because he's old, and he just doesn't check those things. So I actually just jumped on an airplane and flew to Seattle and like just walked in. I called my brother, figured out, hey, where's his office? Because it's been 25 years, I hadn't really been back to see him, so he changed his office location. He still worked practically until the last day of his life, he was working. I just like barged in on him one day, just like opened up the door, hey. And the weird thing was, it totally worked. So it's like, no, I'm serious. It's like, imagine 25 years go by, no communication, and it's like you just sit down and start talking about the same things you were talking about 25 years ago, like nothing ever happened. So my dad's one of those guys, he was always working on cars, he was always working on like airplanes or machines or something. It's just like he always had to be busy, his brain always had to be doing stuff. So yeah, I sat down, we just started talking about working on cars and airplanes and all the stuff that I used to help him with. So that was like, okay, that was easy. Should have done that one earlier. So then what happened? Well, because in my family, we were never a super tight family, so like we didn't communicate a lot. So, I mean, not much communication the next couple of years. COVID happened. And again, I'm thinking about my dad. I would have visited him, but then there was COVID. And it's like, well, the dude's at this point in his late 80s, almost 90. It's like, if I visit him and I bring him COVID, I will kill him. You know, he'd already had heart attacks. He had health issues, all kinds of stuff going on. So I had to wait until I thought COVID was over with. So I remember this was 2021, which was right before Omicron hit. But I thought at the time, we didn't know that there was going to be all kinds of different versions of COVID. So I thought that COVID was done. I bought an airplane ticket. I called him up. He answered. Bought an airplane ticket. And it was like in the beginning of August when I called him. Okay? But my schedule was full, so the first time I could see him was basically right around Halloween. It would have been October 30th, the day that I flew. Actually, I was getting people asking me, are you really a priest or are you just like dressed up when I'm on the airplane? So this is the real deal. So what happened? I flew home, and this is no joke. We're in the air, so I was flying, you know, it's like 5-6 hour flight to Seattle. I'm from Seattle, Washington, West Coast. It's like 5 or 6 hours. As I'm in the air, my dad is in a hospital finding out you have between 2 days and 2 weeks to live. Okay, now, background to all this. My dad had been out of the church for a long time. Now, my mom was one of those super Catholic pious ladies that prayed a lot. So, for decades, my mom had been praying for him. My aunts had been praying for him. I had been praying for him for basically about 30 years. Yeah, right at that, 30 years in the Legion of Christ by the time that time came around. You know, lots of people around the world had been praying for him. I never had any doubt that he would convert. I used to tell people, I mean, the amount of prayers he's had, I guarantee he's going to convert. It might be on his deathbed, but he will convert. Knowing him, it probably will be on his deathbed, but he will convert. I never really had any serious doubt. So I landed in Seattle and, you know, show up to his house and get the good news. Hey, I'm about to die. Okay, well, that wasn't expected. So the next day, I didn't actually go see him again because he was busy. He's one of these guys who's always working on stuff. So he had like, you know, 3 unfinished cars and like a half an airplane sitting in his backyard and stuff. So he had been remarried. So the whole time he's just like calling up his friends, just like, take this stuff away. I don't care. It's free. It's yours. Just get it out of the yard so my wife doesn't have to deal with this because she obviously doesn't want a whole yard full of junk. What's she going to do? That night, I got a call. Early next morning, I got a call. So this was All Saints Day. I got a call saying, from his wife, who I was close to, said, can you come over? I said, I can't even, like, the guy's huge. So he was like, he probably weighed about 280 at the time. I can't even move him now. He's going downhill quickly. Come over and help me. So I went over to the house all day long. I was with him. I ran errands, did stuff. That night, because he was in his house, we had kind of hospice care set up. That night, from about 2 in the morning until like 8 in the morning, I literally held him in place. So he's in this kind of lazy boy chair leaning over. And then, like I said, the dude's heavy. And the worst thing was, is like every time I would put my arms in some position where I could more or less comfortably hold him, he would move and I'd be stuck in one of these. It's like, dude, you're making life real hard on me. It's like, this is hours of basically like holding a bowling ball. You know, imagine you've got like a 12 pounder just sitting there all that, just like trying to, okay. So, and I remember thinking like it's around 8 in the morning thinking, man, he's going down quickly. I think by lunchtime, by noon, he's going to be gone. Well, by 9 o'clock, he died. That last hour, we watched him just go down. And there was a point where, you know, of course, I'm sitting with him the whole time, just praying silently and stuff. And he still had said, look, son, you know, don't worry about me. I don't believe in God, so don't waste your time praying and all that. And I told him, you realize, of course, I'm totally not going to listen to you. I'm totally going to be praying for you. That's my job. So he's like, okay, do whatever you want. I don't care. So, around 9 in the morning, all of a sudden his breathing gets really ragged, and it's just like, and I'm looking at him like, well, that don't look too good. It did another one of those, and I'm like, I don't think another one of those is coming. So at that moment, I spoke to his wife, which she's not Catholic, she's Chinese, so she's Buddhist basically. I said, look, there's something I really want to do, and it's important to me. Would you let me do it? And she said, yeah, just do whatever you want. So within about less than 30 seconds of my dad's last breath, I was able to give him the anointing of the sick. The anointing of the sick, amongst other things, gives you total forgiveness of your sins, like a confession. And that was on All Souls Day. And I remember as I was doing it, I was getting choked up. And it wasn't really because my dad was dying. I got choked up because as I was doing it, I had the awareness that all of those prayers, so at least 30 years of my own prayers and more years of my mom's prayers and different people around the world, all of those prayers funneled down to about a 30-second window of time that I had to work with. This was it. And it was almost like a voice. There's no audible voice, but it was just this voice in my head. And the words were, God is faithful. Didn't expect that. The words were, God is faithful. And I was able to anoint my dad on All Souls Day. And then it was kind of funny because afterwards, you know, I was sitting there after he died, he was dead, about 10 minutes into it. His wife is there kind of just crying and I'm sitting there praying, and all of a sudden I started kind of laughing. I said, so in my prayer, I said, hey, Dad, you remember all that stuff about God and heaven and hell and all that? Told you. So, so I got the last word. He couldn't say anything back. So why am I talking about this on All Souls Day? Because All Souls Day is a day that shows us in the end of the day, it makes things really clear. Death makes things really clear. At the end of our lives, all the stuff that we think is important is not going to matter. At the end of our lives, your sports, you're not going to care about. People made fun of you and you hold a resentment against them, it's not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter to us at the end of our lives is, what did I do to glorify God and to save souls? The only thing that really matters at the end of our lives is the salvation of souls. And today is All Souls Day, and it's the day that we pray for souls. Now, something that we know that we probably don't think enough about, but the church is a real big place. The Catholic Church, not this church. This church is pretty good size, but the church, Catholic Church, is a big place. The Catholic Church is such a big place that it doesn't just consist of all the people that are Catholics here on earth. It also consists of all the angels, all the saints, God, because Jesus Christ is the head of the Catholic Church and he is God, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the souls in purgatory. The souls in purgatory are in a certain sense, they're happy because they have the guarantee that they're going to heaven. But they are suffering. They need to be purified. They are part of the Catholic Church that you and I can pray for. They're the part of the Catholic Church that most needs our prayers in a certain sense. I guess in a certain sense they don't need our prayers because at least they know they're guaranteed that they're going to heaven sooner or later. But they're the most helpless, the most vulnerable part of the Catholic Church. They can't really do anything for themselves. They require our prayers to help them. And on All Souls Day is a day to pray for the souls in purgatory. And I'm going to ask everybody here, it doesn't have to be your first intention, but at least as your second intention for this Mass, when you receive communion, remember the souls in purgatory. Anybody who's been going to confession with me today, and as usual I've heard, I don't know how many hours of confessions today, but basically anybody who's gone to confession with me, with one or two exceptions, the penance was pray whatever I gave them for the souls in purgatory. So I want to end with just one thing. There's a few things we can do that are very powerful in helping the souls in purgatory. The most powerful is what you're doing right now, the Mass. Go to Mass, offer up Masses, receive the Eucharist, offer up the Eucharist for the souls in purgatory. There's nothing more powerful than that. But there's also something called indulgences. Okay, Edge Kids. How many Edge Kids? I will give you nothing, because I don't have anything. I will give you an Our Father if you can explain to me, tell me what is an indulgence. Raise your hand if you can tell me what an indulgence is. All right, servers, you're not allowed to. You don't get anything. Tony, if you don't know the answer, forget it. I'm quitting. Okay, what Edge Kid? Can any Edge Kid tell me what is an indulgence? Have you guys even heard of indulgences? No? Okay, I'm going to tell you what an indulgence is. An indulgence is a get out of purgatory free card. That's literally what it is. An indulgence is it's something that when certain actions are performed, so you can get an indulgence. For example, if you go to 30 minutes of Eucharistic adoration with the Blessed Sacrament exposed, you can get one indulgence every single day and offer it up for either yourself or for some loved one who is already dead, and to get them out of purgatory. Now, it depends partially on, you know, how fervent you are in your prayers and everything. It's not just automatically. But an indulgence basically erases purgatory for either yourself or for somebody who's already there. Imagine if you're in purgatory in the flames, basically. Would you not want somebody to, like, get you an indulgence and get it yesterday? Okay, not today, yesterday. So how do you do it? There's a lot of different things you can do. The easy one I can think of is, like I said, 30 minutes of adoration will do it. So the conditions for an indulgence are this. Number one, you have to be in the state of grace, which is true of basically anything in the church. If you're not in the state of grace, well, it ain't gonna work. So if you're in the state of grace, you need to, number one, do the indulgence thing. Number two, say some prayers for the Pope, which is enough just to say, like, you know, an Our Father, Hail Mary, and a Glory Be, which will take you maybe 30 seconds of your life. It's not that hard. Okay? Number three, go to confession within a week. Number four, go to Mass and receive communion within a week. Okay? Number five, I said there's four things, but actually five if I look at it this way, is you need to be detached from sin. Now, what does that mean? That sounds like, oh, man, forget it. Now I'm never going to get an indulgence. Well, detachment from sin does not mean that you have to be totally perfect. It doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. What it means is the same attitude that you have when you make a good confession. When you go to confession, you're going and saying, look, Father, I know I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess. But right now, I don't want sin. And I promise I'm going to do my best not to sin again. Okay? That's enough. That is detachment from sin. So if you do the indulgence action, you know, praying the rosary in a group gets an indulgence. There's any number of things. You can get a partial indulgence just by praying the Anima Christi prayer, which some of you know, after Mass and communion, after you receive communion. So, do the thing, be in the state of grace, okay? Say some prayers for the Pope, go to Mass, go to confession, which a lot of you do regularly, be detached from sin. If you do that, you can gain one indulgence every day. Can you imagine at the end of your life how cool it would be if when it's your turn, you know, you die and you're at the judgment and you see the pearly gates and there's this giant crowd of people and they're all cheering you on. Okay, I'm going to get somebody embarrassed here. Alba, 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 Alba. And they're all cheering because they're saying, this is the girl that every single day she went to the chapel and she got an indulgence and she got us all out of purgatory. And ever since then, we've all been praying for her. Wouldn't that be cool? So, it's actually possible. It's up to you guys. So, this is what All Souls Day is about. It's about saving souls. It's about being there for the souls in purgatory. And about preaching 20-minute homilies. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.